all God's people said, Amen. As we continue this morning our journey through the book of Romans, we come to a very special portion of Scripture. Most often, at least in our United Methodist tradition, this Scripture is often used in funerals. For there, as we go through these deep and dark times of grief and loss, God speaks to us of His love and how even this pain that we are feeling, even this deep, gut-wrenching loss, that it still doesn't remove us from the love of God. That God's love is always there for us through the gift of Christ Jesus our Lord. As I shared, we just got back from vacation, and it was everything vacation should be. It was exhausting and expensive, and we played lots of video games and ignored lots of amazing things our Father was trying to teach us, and we all came home mad at some point. So it was a great and huge success, and as all vacations are, and at some point, I'm sure, because I always say it, I'm never taking you anywhere else again. I'll start planning a new trip in a few weeks because I'll forget those moments. But it was vacation, and it was great. But one of the things that really marked this vacation was the unexpected. You see, whenever we plan vacation, and by we, I mean I. Whenever I plan vacation, I like to have everything mapped out. I like to know where we're going to go. I like to know how we're going to get there, how long we're going to be there. I like to have everything mapped out. Part of the frustration I have is that nobody else in my family goes along with my timeline. Nobody else thinks that it works and that it is great. They all want to do things like relax, which I just completely foreign to me. Why would you go on vacation to relax? But this vacation really stretched those boundaries because it was full of a lot of the unexpected. One of the unexpected places we came to was in a little town called Dufuniak Springs, Florida. And it's a great little town. It's actually much bigger than it appears to be on the map. And it just so happened the way that our schedule was, that was going to be a place where we were going to eat. And so I did what all people of my generation did, is I whipped out my cell phone. And I went to TripAdvisor, and I typed in Dufuniak Springs and hit restaurants and saw all of the many options. And we finally settled on this place called 4C Barbecue. And so I hit the direction, and it automatically plugged it in and told me where I needed to turn. And so we turned and went, and I told Heather it's going to be somewhere on the right. Be looking out for it, where it is. And so we drove and drove and drove, and then finally we ended up someplace we weren't supposed to be, and it was like, hold on, we didn't see it. So then we turned back around, and now I've zoomed in as far as I can looking, oh, it's right here, it's in front of the Winn-Dixie. I remember where the Winn-Dixie is, so we turn around and we turn in the Winn-Dixie parking lot, and there is no restaurant. And we look in all the little strip malls, all looking at the places that, and there was no restaurant. And so I'm like, okay. So I start driving as if I am going toward that point on my phone, which looking at that point on my phone is the middle of the parking lot. And so immediately I'm thinking, well, this is just GPS. You know, GPS is always going to be at least a mile off from wherever you're supposed to be. And so I'm like, okay, so we can do this. Well, then finally I realize, well, maybe it's across the highway. And so we go across the highway, and again, absolutely no restaurant. And so we're scanning all the buildings, and then finally, there tucked away in the corner behind the dialysis clinic in this strip mall is this little bitty sign about this big of the state of Texas and just has barbecue written on it. And I'm like, okay, that has to be where it is. So we head over there, and we park. And you can get out, and again, it's tucked away at the very end of this. And again, there's this little bitty sign that's cut out in the shape of Texas that has barbecue. But right under it, above the door going into this establishment, is a massive banner. The banner had to be at least 10 foot long and probably 4 foot wide, and it said Blue Jean Church. And I was like, okay. Does that mean the church is inside the barbecue restaurant? Is the barbecue restaurant not here anymore? Because nobody could find it. What is it? And so, but then we saw people coming in and out, and some people came out the door, and they were carrying to-go plates, and I was like, well, unless that's communion to-go, odds are there's still some barbecue in there. And so we unloaded the van and went in, and as we got closer, there was a yard sign that had Blue Jean Church. Services Sunday, 9 a.m., inside 4C Barbecue. It's like, oh, okay, so here it is. It's this non-denominational congregation that on Sundays meets inside a barbecue restaurant, which, FYI, trustees need to think about that. There might be something to that. And so I thought, this is going to be an amazing experience. So we go in, and everything about the restaurant is not what I expected, especially because I go in with the expectation that this is the kind of establishment that has a church inside of it on Sunday. And so the first thing I do is I walk in, and the waitress greets us, and I tell her there's six, and I have to do one of those double take moments because my eyes as a man did not want to look at her pretty blue eyes because of the way she was dressed. Very low cut, very high cut, in all the wrong places for my children. And all the wait staff was dressed this way. And there are all of these big blinking beer signs all over the place. And we go into the restaurant, and there are people back there playing darts. And some of them, you could tell, had some liquid courage in that dart, because here's the dartboard I'm aiming for, but most of my darts are ending up somewhere over here. The food was amazing, by the way. But as I was going to the bathroom and went back out into the foyer that also was a country store that looked like they had cleaned out their grandmama's attic and they were trying to sell whatever nobody wanted. Except then there was this really nice counter that was full of African jewelry. I'm not quite sure how all of that fit together, but it did for these folks. But there was a big table that had a big sign that said prayer box, and it was a huge box where you could put in prayer requests. And then it had a big table that had information about this Blue Jean Church. And it had a big flyer that had Blue Jean Church. Again, it meets inside the barbecue restaurant, which I'm wondering, so does that mean that you just hang around after service and everybody has lunch together? And so, but then it said, then it had in the only other thing on the flyer, other than a telephone number at the bottom if you wanted more information, is it said, ordinary people loving an extraordinary God. And I thought, what a beautiful, beautiful testament. Actually, I started to call Bishop Swanson and say, hey, is this happen to be an appointment? Because I think I could dig preaching in the barbecue restaurant. But I love that sentiment. Ordinary people loving an extraordinary God. That's the whole focus of this congregation. And then they had some other information that said it was non-denominational. Everybody's welcome. Live music. Thinking maybe we need to start publishing that. We got live music. But the whole heart of everything was all that they just wanted you to show up and love God. And in the process, love God and find out how much you are loved by God. That's the message. And I'm sure that in their very simplistic way, they do an amazing job of doing that. And so that really got me to thinking, do people know that when they come see us? When people come and visit, or people come because you're family, or when people enter our doors, whatever brings them here, do they leave here knowing that God loves them? Is that the message that we are constantly sending out in every song that we sing, in every prayer that we pray? What is it that we are trying to tell people about the God who created the universe and His desire to be in relationship. You see, that's where our Scripture begins, at least in the portion where we started this morning. Is it begins very simply, because here He talks about the love of God, but He talks about it as God's love is that which empowers us. He says this, so what can we say? If God is with us, and that if right there is not if maybe He's not. No, it's not. If God is with us, no one can defeat us. He did not spare His own Son, but gave Him for us all. So with Jesus, God will surely give us all things. Who can accuse the people of God as chosen? No one, because God is the one who makes them right. Who can say that God's people are guilty? No one. Because Christ Jesus died and was risen and is constantly beseeching God on our behalf. The apostle is saying the very core of who we are is the affirmation that God so loved the world. And that's all of us. That God so loved all of us, the ordinary and those of us who consider ourselves extraordinary. That God so loved all of us. That He spared not His own flesh. That He spared not His own essence. And that's the heart of the message of the Blue Jean Church in the 4C Barbecue Restaurant in the Foodiac Springs, Florida. Is that whoever you are, wherever you are, whatever you think, whatever brings you here, God loves you. And that also is something that we have to claim as our own identity. But we claim it, as the apostle frames it, as something that, again, we have said is not an excuse. It is not something that makes us better than everybody else. But it is that which empowers us for faithful living. There is no way you can love others unless you fully understand how much God loves you. It is at the core of who we are, and it is at the core of what me must be about. If God is for us, He gave His only Son as testament of that. But then he picks up in verse 35 with these words, can anything separate us from the love of Christ? So he has established that God is for us, and the way that we know God is for us is because He gave us Christ Jesus. And how can we further affirm that? How can we know that that love isn't going to change based on our behavior? Can anything separate us from the love Christ has for us? And then he says, can troubles or problems or suffering or hunger or nakedness, he gives this big long list of everyday problems, ordinary problems for ordinary people. When you suffer in your life, is it because God doesn't love you? When you have difficulties in your life, is it because God doesn't love you anymore? When times are hard in your life, is it because God loves you even more? He says the answer is no. That none of those things mean that you have been separated from the love of God. That God is there giving you all things because He gave His very self. Whenever we are on vacation, when we travel, we aren't those kind of hurry up and get to the destination kind of people. For us, the journey is part of the vacation. That's why we always take twice as long to get there as everybody else. We should have been home at 4 yesterday. We got home about 10. It's always a process. But for us, the journey is part of that. And so we're constantly wandering and constantly, oh, let's stop here and let's see this and let's stop here and see this. And as some of you who kept up with our trip on Facebook know, we had a very eventful time, actually, prior to the Blue Jean Church barbecue. What led us into that area off of the well-traveled interstate was we wanted to go to Falling Water State Park, which is the tallest waterfall in the state of Florida. What an amazing thing to see! And it's hot, and it's cold spring water. And we are so, what a great, and I just have these visions. that always gets me in trouble, is when I think I know what it's going to be like. I have these visions of my children playing around in the cold water at the end of the waterfall, kind of one of those Blue Lagoon moments for those of you who remember that movie, except they would be clothed. So we get there and we go into the park and all of the reviews are like, oh, it's this little hidden gem of a place. It's wonderful. Folks, lie. And so we got there and I paid my $5 to go in. And so we drove in and drove back to where it was supposed to be. And we get everybody out and there's a bathroom. It's a really nice area and it's all clean cut. And there's some picnic tables. And so everybody has to use the bathroom because every time you got to stop, everybody's got to use the bathroom, which means you're still going to stop in 25 minutes again because somebody didn't go to the bathroom. And so we stopped, everybody went to the bathroom, and then it started raining. But the fact is, this is Florida, which means it's going to rain every 15 minutes, but it's only going to rain for like 5, and then you're going to be fine. And so we just all sat under the picnic tables, under the cover pavilion, waited for the rain to pass, and lo and behold, the rain passed. The sun came out, the sky was beautiful and clear, and so we set out to go see this amazing waterfall. And we get about halfway there, and all of a sudden it goes dark, and it is thunder, and I swear the ark floated by. It was straight down rain. And here we are, with no umbrella, absolutely nothing. All the trees are pushed far away from the beautiful boardwalk we're walking on. And it is torrential downpour. But I'm like, we're going to see this waterfall. We have gone through all this. We're going to see this waterfall. And so we're all huddled under what these few little branches of a magnolia tree, getting completely soaking wet, headed to the waterfall. We go down the steps to go look at this amazing thing, and there is nothing but a rock. Because what they don't tell you, other than the torrential downpour that we were in, is that the state of Florida has had pretty much a dry summer, which means there is no waterfall. Now, the lady could have told me that when I paid my $5 and came in the gates. But she didn't. And so here we are, drowned with rain pouring down, here to see this waterfall, and it's nothing but a rock and a hole in the ground. And it's one of those moments where I want to go, my God, why have you forsaken me? But all we could do was laugh. All we could do was laugh because we are now soaking wet. And the whole reason we are soaking wet is that we went following after something that then we get there and find out didn't exist. And so we laughed. Because there in that moment, we had a choice. We could either go with my normal MO, which is to completely lose it, and to rail against the injustice of this moment, and to, in the process, hack off my wife, who then is not going to speak to me, and to have all of my children completely ignoring me, because they always do whenever I lose it. Or we could laugh. And so then all of a sudden our plan became, how, now that we're completely soaking wet, hey, they have a swimming hole. Why don't we go swimming? After all, you can't get much more wet than we are. And so we trek off toward the swimming hole, all soaking wet. And do you know what happened as our feet touched that parking lot to take the other trail over to the swimming hole? It stopped raining. Instantly. Like someone in heaven turned the knob and it was gone. And so then we're like, okay, so here comes somebody else, who this guy coming out of the woods away from the swimming hole was much more prepared than us, because he had been swimming, he was armed with towels, and he was dry. Because during the downpour in which we were looking for the waterfall that did not exist, he was standing under a nice little pavilion by the swimming hole, staying dry. And so I asked him, how long does it take to get back there? And he's like, well, you're going to want to drive. So now I have 6 soaking wet people that I've got to put back in my vehicle that is already overstuffed with so much stuff you can't even breathe. And how are we going to make this all happen? And so again, we're faced with another opportunity. Do we say, forget it, this is too much trouble, let's just change clothes and go? Or do we see what we can do? Well, make a long story, perhaps a little bit shorter. It was a nasty looking lake and we didn't go swimming, so we just changed clothes and we went to go eat in Dufuniak Springs where we found a church inside a barbecue restaurant. So, but you know, so many times in our life, when we are faced with those moments where out of the blue, despite all of our perfect planning, it seems that the skies just open and all of a sudden we are drenched by a downpour that is beyond our control, so many times in that moment, our gut instinct is, why me? What have I done wrong? Why is it, God, that I'm the one who's inflicted with this pain? I'm the one who's always done everything right. I'm the one who's always planned. Why me? We take this crisis as some massive, cosmic, personal affront. That God has to be mad or angry or something's going on. And the apostle says, no, it's just rain. It's just rain. It's not about you. It's not about your trip. It's not about your planning. It's not about your personal crisis. It's rain. And rain's going to fall. As the scripture tells us, rain falls on the blessed and the wicked. God is. We know that God is for us because even in those difficult times, God is there presenting us with the opportunity to allow Him to speak into our difficulty, to allow Him to come into our darkness and to change our sorrow into joy, as the psalmist says. To find laughter even in the midst of the storms of life. But then also he says it one other time, picking up in verse 37. He says, but in all these things we have full victory through God who showed His love for us. Yes, I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor ruling spirits, nothing now in the future, powers above, below, anything in all the world can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. He goes on to say, he says, it's not these things that happen in the world, when you have your own personal crisis, that has God still loves you in the midst of it, and God wants to work in the midst of it if you allow Him. And he says, but it's not just your personal crisis, it goes on forever. Nothing is ever going to separate you from the presence of God, because that is the gift that you have received through Christ Jesus. And God's love for you is never going to change, no matter what. But my favorite part of all of that scripture is that verse 37. That verse 37 that the good King Jimmy version says, when we are conquerors. That we have full victory. You know, I think that's something that we need to be reminded of, because Lord knows we don't live like it. One of the downsides of being the preacher's children is that you spend a whole lot of time in the church. And my children have grown up in various churches. And so one of the realities is anytime we visit a church, they think they own the place. Because they are comfortable. And so therefore we crawl all over everything and we look in all the drawers and we just do whatever it is because we own the place. Because daddy's the preacher. Whether or not daddy's the preacher of your church doesn't matter. We still own the place. They have that sense of certainty, that sense of comfort of being in a house of worship and feeling like it belongs to them. And the fact is, as irritating as it is, and it sure is irritating for the churches that we visit, and they're like, why did these people have to show up? But the reality is, that's something we all should feel. But how many times do we live with that kind of certainty of God's love? Because that's what he says. The heart of all of this love is so that you will live in this world as if you own the place. That it is your world, ripe with potential, ripe with possibilities, because it is God's world. and you are His child. But Christians don't live like that. No, we're too busy trying to keep our own nose clean. No, we're too busy trying to keep everybody else's nose clean. No, we're always worried. We're worried about, do we have enough people? Do we have enough money? Do we have enough space? Do we have enough of this? Do we have enough of that? We're always worried and limiting ourselves based on our own abilities instead of living forward into the future. Not based upon our abilities, but based upon God's massive capabilities. That's the whole point of living in the love of God. Jesus says, I have come that you may have life and that you may have it abundantly. Are you living your life as if you own the place? Are you living your life of faith as if there is nothing that can stop it because you know that God's love is going to see you through it no matter what? If we're going to be the people that God has called us to be as individuals and as a community of faith, then we have to start living like it. With boldness, with daring. We have to challenge the world. Come and see what makes us stand in the midst of the crises and circumstances in this life that make everybody else fall by the wayside. Come and see. It is the love of God that sustains us and empowers us and that helps us make it through the difficulties of life and who will help us and empower us through the difficulties to come. For what shall we say shall separate us from the love of God? The answer is nothing. And now it is time that we live like it. Let us pray. Glorious and merciful God, we thank you. We thank you for your love and for the so many outpourings of your love and of your comfort and your blessing, O Lord. So many times we take it for granted. But we just know, O Lord, that you are in the midst of it all. O God, we just pray that you will give us a boldness and a strength and a courage that we will go forth living for you as people so sure of your love that you use ordinary people to bring about your extraordinary kingdom. We ask these things in Christ's holy and blessed name. Amen.